On this edition of the Virtual Bible Study, we're going to study what you coined as two fringe religious organizations tonight.
We want to talk about Scientology and Christian Science, two separate organizations, some commonality maybe between them, but we've never talked about these things before. They're kind of out there in their doctrinal views, and we just want to get a basic understanding. We're not able to go into great depth, but we want to get a basic understanding of what they're teaching.
I sort of wish we had the theme music from the Twilight Zone to kick us off tonight, because it's going to be a little bit out there. We're going to get started right now.
It's time for this week's edition of the Virtual Bible Study. The Virtual Bible Study is a live, internet-only call-in program dedicated to the honest study and discussion of God's Word. Do you have a question about something in the Bible, or are you simply interested in learning more about the Scriptures? If so, we hope you'll stay tuned tonight as we look into the pages of God's Word. The Virtual Bible Study is brought to you this time each week by the College View Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee. You can participate in the discussion tonight by calling 931-381-4567 or by emailing your questions or comments from collegeview.com. We hope you'll take out your Bibles and study along with us as we begin an exciting study of God's Word on this edition of the Virtual Bible Study.
We welcome you into the Virtual Bible Study. This is the Virtual Bible Study for Thursday, February 13th, 2020. My name is Jacob Gwynn. My father, Greg Gwynn, joins me tonight. Dad, welcome.
Jacob, great to be with you tonight.
Good to be with you. The legendary Kyle's behind the controls tonight. Kyle, welcome to the program.
It's good to be as always.
Get that Kyle cam going tonight.
That's right. We need it going. We appreciate you being on the other end of the line tonight. We want to hear from you at 877-381-4567. Questions at collegeview.com. If you've got some experience with these religious groups, the Scientologist or the Christian Scientist, let us know. We want to hear from you on the program tonight and help us with the discussion. 877-381-4567. Questions at collegeview.com in the chat window if you're watching us on the program live tonight.
Again, we like to have some listener participation tonight. The information I have is just scratching the surface, I'm sure. I think it is important for us to have some basic knowledge of these groups. They're really fringe groups, as I said in our update earlier today. But you hear about them quite a bit. Certainly you hear about Scientology a lot because a lot of the big movie stars are Scientologists, and we hear about that. So we'll talk a little bit about that. I think probably toward the end of the program, we may have a little time for off-the-cuff questions. So if somebody's got, you know, we'll see, but I think we might have some time left at the end of the program. If you've got something you'd just like to hear us bat around off the cuff, you might add that in the chat room.
You got one of those, Kyle? Get one ready. You might need to go to you. All right, yeah, good. Some bumper stickers. I see you still got some bumper stickers.
We got bumper stickers. Send us an email. Questions at collegeview.com. Give us your snail mail address, and we'll get one in the mail to you.
All right.
Remember also that that we send out on Thursdays an update about our program, and you need to get on our mailing list if you're not. So send us an email to questions@collegeview.com and say, put me on your list. And on Thursday, you'll get an update about what our discussion will be that evening. And on Tuesdays every week, we send out an email version of our weekly church bulletin. So you get two emails from us a week. We're not going to flood your inbox, but we think that information will be useful to you if you're not getting it.
Okay. All right. So fringe religious organizations tonight. We could probably talk about a lot, but you've got two picked out for us here.
Okay. We're going to talk about Scientology and Christian Science. And I asked the same questions about both. So we'll start with Scientology. What's the background or origin of Scientology? Who was its founder? What are some of the basic beliefs or doctrines of Scientology? And give examples of how Scientology contradicts the Scriptures.
Okay. Now, you said this is a big one among the movie stars. So you hear about these guys being Scientologists.
Yeah. I think maybe the biggest name, Kyle, is Tom Cruise.
Oh, yeah.
Tom Cruise, big Scientologist.
John Travolta.
Priscilla Presley is a Scientologist. I don't know if you knew that one.
They have it's actually the Hollywood Center. It's like that's their.
That's the center of that's like their Jerusalem.
That's their main building. I think it's the Hollywood, the Celebrity Center.
Yeah.
They actually have a source or a building to intake celebrities in Hollywood.
How about that? Well, Scientology had its origin with a guy who was, believe it or not, a science fiction writer. his name is L. Ron Hubbard, and it began back in the 1950s. In fact, in 1949, I found this quote. L. Ron Hubbard was quoted as saying to a friend, "Writing for a penny of a word for a penny a word is ridiculous." That's what he'd been doing, getting about a penny for every word he wrote. "If a man really wants to make $1 million, the best way would be to start his own religion." Mm. That's what he said to his friend, and that's what he ended up doing. And so he actually made good on his financial plan, because there's a lot of cost associated with being in Scientology. Because you have to go through training courses and various therapy sessions, and you have to pay for them all. It was estimated back 20 years ago that the cost to reach level 8 in Scientology, and I'm not sure what all the levels mean, but if you wanted to reach
sounds good, Joe.
Level 8,
yeah.
It would cost you between $365,000 and $380,000.
Wow.
To be in that religion and to get to that level. Now, you know, if you think about, we said, what are some of the contrasts with true Christianity? Well, that right there in itself is a true contrast to what the Lord was teaching and offering. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, he said, "Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give."
Yeah.
L. Ron Hubbard's not giving freely. He's getting rich off of this.
Yeah.
And so he developed a method. It was actually sort of psychotherapy, you know, sort of work on your brain. And you remember what he called it, Kyle? Dianetics. It was the practice of Dianetics. And according to people who know how these kind of mental games work, this was a form of regression therapy. And supposedly his view was, and it's not an uncommon view, his view was that past events in your life interfere with your present ability to function. Lots of psychotherapy is dealt on that principle, right? I mean, psychologists work at that level all the time.
Yeah,
you know, you had a bad childhood.
And traumatic event.
Very traumatic. And now, since you had a traumatic childhood, you're all messed up and you're not able to function well as an adult. That's common psychological, I suppose, analysis or process.
Yeah.
But here's the interesting twist with Scientology. It's not just what happened to you in this life. It's what happened to you in past lives as well.
Yeah.
And so you got a whole train load of baggage because you've had bad experiences not just in one lifetime, but in many previous lifetimes.
The Twilight Zone music.
It's
here we go.
So many layers. It's so many like layers. One is they believe that there's aliens have invaded, like the people who originated were prisoner aliens, and they came here, and they're implanting on your body, and you have to exercise these by going through the Dianetics, the levels that you're getting through these, you're exercising these.
Yeah.
It's just...
They actually use what they call an E-meter, which is, measures the electrical resistance in your body. It's sort of a primitive form of a lie detector. Of course, there's no evidence that there's any legitimacy to it at all. But as you said, Kyle, I was reading about this. It teaches that people are immortal beings called thetans, and you continue to live. But supposedly, sometime in the past, thetans became sort of tangled up in their thinking and lost consciousness of their real identity and nature, and they became entrapped in this physical world, which is actually just a product of their own imagination. The world is not real. This physical existence isn't actual. It's just
far out.
75 million years ago, these souls they always existed, but they were in an overcrowded universe. And the ruler of the universe rounded up billions of these thetans and sent them to Earth. That's how we got here. They Scientology believes that the material universe is an illusion, and that each individual is essentially divine with infinite potential to create. You want to know how crazy this gets? Let me read you a quote here from what's called the Professional Auditor's Bulletin. An auditor in Scientology is one of the counselors. And so, can you make any sense of this? Religion does much to keep the assumption in re-stimulation, being basically a control mechanism used by those who have sent the pre-clear into a body. You will find the cross as a symbol all over the universe and the Christ legend as implant in pre-clears a million years ago. I don't even know what that means, but that's some of the advice being given to these auditors or counselors. And actually, of course, that's just ridiculous to imagine that the information about Jesus Christ, or he calls it the legend of Christ, was in the universe a million years ago, which is obviously just ridiculous. Members of Scientology start out as pre-clears. They work through various counseling sessions. They advance through various levels until they are declared cleared. In other words, you get rid of all that baggage you had. Now you are an operating thetan, and then you can keep working through new sets of levels to learn how to spread Scientology, become an auditor yourself. And these operating thetans believe that they can actually leave their bodies and operate in the netherworld. Does it sound like a science fiction author dreamed that stuff up? Well, in fact, he did.
There have been many discussions and studies on the psychological state, unsurprisingly, of L. Ron Hubbard and his imagining and thinking of these things. And I think it's an insult or an affront, which we're probably going to get into the whole church discussion here, why it's called a church and all that stuff. But
you may know more about that than
well,
I.
Well, I know, which I know, and I think it was the late 90s, they were being sued by the IRS.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because
they weren't really a church.
They weren't paying their taxes.
Yeah.
And they're saying, well, we're a church. So they started suing. They sued multiple thousands of lawsuits. So to get the IRS off their back, they were called them a church. The IRS, like, well, okay, you're a church. So drop these lawsuits.
Yeah.
And everything's fine. They had, so it was. So they're not a church. They're a tax shelter, essentially. So yeah. They're taking advantage of that, which is...
One of the things I asked in the update was, where do you see Scientology contradicting with Scripture? Well, here's a big place. Scientology teaches that it's a supplement to other religions. In other words, people in Scientology believe you can be a Christian, a Buddhist, a Jew, and a Scientologist at the same time. So in other words, all those religions are acceptable, and then Scientology supplements that. Of course, we believe that would be a direct contradiction to what Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, where he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I would also argue that Scientology differs with the Bible in regards to the idea that this universe is imaginary. I mean, if the Bible teaches anything at all from the very first page of the scripture in Genesis chapter 1, it talks about a literal physical universe that God created. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I didn't make it up.
It's not a figment of imagination.
It's not a figment of my imagination. God created the heaven and the earth.
Yeah. And back to that idea that it's a supplement, or that, you know, you could be into these other religions and be okay. That's not isolated just to the Scientologists. And there's a lot of folks who even claim to be Christian today who are saying, well, it doesn't really matter if there's good in Buddhism and Judaism and Scientology, I guess, and it doesn't matter. But the scriptures are very clear. For Christians that want to believe what the Bible says, what you said, Jesus said he is the way, singular. Peter alluded to this as well when he said in Acts 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If you want to be saved, you've got to be a follower of Christ.
Exactly.
That's the only way around it.
You know, years ago, we did a program on Freemasonry. And the Masons do the same thing that the Scientologists do there. They say you can be a Buddhist or a Hindu or a Jew, an unbelieving Jew, or a Christian, but that you can actually go to God through Masonry itself. And all of that, of course, is in error. But the Scientologists is way off on this. Some of their teachings, here's a quote from L. Ron Hubbard. An enemy may be injured by any means or tricked, sued, or lied to, or destroyed. That's his philosophy. If you're an enemy, you can be attacked at any level or in any way. And, of course, Jesus taught otherwise. In Luke chapter 6, verse 27, I say to you, love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. Bless them that curse you. And pray for them which despitefully use you, and unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer the other, and to him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh thee, of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. As you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love them. But if you do good to them which... And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do the same. And he goes on. So Jesus is calling us to a higher level. L. Ron Hubbard's calling us to a lower level.
Yeah, you know, now a lot of the Scientology stuff doesn't make any sense, but this one actually does make sense. If I'm going to create a religion, I want to turn that teaching of Jesus on its head, because that's one of the harder ones that Jesus made, to love your enemies. I mean, it's totally against what you want to do. It's very hard to do. And so if I'm going to be like Ron Hubbard and start my own religion, well, I definitely don't want that in there. I want something like this, that, hey, somebody does you wrong, do whatever you want to do to them, right? I'll take the gloves off. It's free game.
Yeah.
All right, we need to get a break when we get back.
Okay, we'll wrap that up, and then we'll take a dive into Christian Science, see what we can find out.
We're
there.
Not getting into Christian Science. We're going to talk about
right.
it. Right. All right. Don't go anywhere. The Virtual Bible Study continues right after this.
Now you can listen to a podcast of a recent sermon every week. Find out more at collegeview.com. There's more of the Virtual Bible Study right after these important messages.
What does your church have for my children? At the College View Church of Christ, we don't have pizza parties or putt-putt nights. We don't have softball or basketball. We do have the Bible. We do have the powerful sayings of the gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We do have the love for your children's souls to never substitute the solid spiritual teaching they need with superficial secular activities. If this is what you want for your children, bring them to Bible class this Sunday at 9:30 a.m. at the College View Church of Christ.
Here's some quotes worth pondering. Others can stop you temporarily, but you're the only one who can do it permanently. Actions and feelings go together, and by regulating the action, we can directly regulate the feeling. The last of the human freedoms is to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances. Man, wish I had said that.
Use your internet connection for something good. Listen to the Virtual Bible Study every week. Now, back to the program.
And we're back on the program tonight as we look at Scientology and Christian Science. What about these wacky beliefs of L. Ron Hubbard?
One other thing I had noted here is, here's a quote from L. Ron Hubbard. He says, I don't know how they found it, either by watching Mad Men or something, but since that time they have used it, and it became known as Christianity, the man on the cross, there was no Christ, he said. There you have it. He's actually denying the reality of Jesus Christ. Sort of that really struck me as similar to what the Apostle Peter said in 2 Peter 2, verse 1, beginning. There were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. That almost sounds like it almost fits L. Ron Hubbard exactly.
Yeah. All right. Kyle.
Which, I guess there's some contrast you can make for what the church is and what the Scientologists are, is how they treat their people who are Christians, or reaching out to those, especially those who have done auditing, and people who have done that, the things that they tell them the deepest, darkest secrets of their lives, and they write them down in a book, and they can be used against them. They can use that stuff against you to pay more.
So in these counseling sessions, they're revealing all this train load of baggage they're pulling, and then they have blackmail on you. If you don't toe the line, then they can expose what you revealed in these counseling sessions.
And
interesting.
There's many stories of, like, there's many little camps they have where they can, if you're not towing the line, they can send you out there for retraining or whatever they want to call it, to help you.
At several thousands of dollars of expense, probably.
Well, they're not necessarily there. It's not a comfortable place to be. It's like it could be a cult. They're separating them from their families, isolating them in any way possible to
reprogram them. So the reprogramming sessions.
You know, it's nothing like brotherly love. There's no kindness. There's no love at all. Especially, I don't know why you want to get into this when once you're out.
But you hear of some who have left Scientology, and it's usually a pretty ugly thing when they try to get out. I was trying to think. There's an actress. I'm trying to think.
Like Leah Remini.
Let me do a search here.
So you it's a one-way ticket, basically, once you join Scientology.
It's what it seems. Well, it's once you're in so deep, it's like, I guess they want you to, you just can't get out. Once you're in, you're just.
Yeah, Leah Remini is the one I was thinking of. She'd been in the news quite a bit. It says here that she left Scientology in 2013. So for about the last six, seven years, she's been really fighting it. And it's been pretty public.
Mm. Yeah, which she had a show which. Her language, you can't watch it because it's like her. But she's very, very public about her her exit and the blowback, and because if some of us, if we have family who are not Christians or those who depart, we still seek them out. We want them to return to Christ. But if you leave Scientology, you're sliced off. You never exist. Will never exist again in their eyes. Family will. And the very firm purpose of the word shun is you are cast out and you are looked down upon. And so it's a horrible scenario.
Yeah.
Now, I also see here some quotes about inquiry into the teachings. You're not to question the teachings, apparently, from L. Ron Hubbard. Never permit an open-minded approach. Never let them be half-minded about being Scientologists. So don't question it. Don't doubt it.
Yeah.
The scriptures teach, though, that Christians should question things.
And try the spirits, 1 John 4, verse 1.
That's exactly right. And 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 21 and 22, prove all things. Hold fast such was good, abstain from such was evil. We don't need to just take what someone says as, well, that's the fact. We need to compare it to a standard. We need to verify that it's true. A lot of folks think, well, Christians are just blindly following whatever they're taught. That's not the case. We're told just the opposite of that, but I mean, if you're making up your religion, I guess you don't want people questioning that, Kyle.
That's true. Well, it's anytime a sermon is given here, anywhere else in a church, we're supposed to study up, follow along in our Bibles. Every line that the preacher gives is backed up with the script right behind it. So we don't follow blindly. We're not supposed to. We're supposed to be learners. We're supposed to be learners, seekers, and doers of the word, not just followers.
Right. And now somebody would say, well, you're following the Bible blindly. Well, no, we're not. We look at the Bible and we verify that, this is actually the word of God, because we can see, we looked at the evidence that the Bible is inspired, that it is something other than a product of man. And we've got programs on that as well. So we're not just blindly following. We've proven the Bible has to be from God, and then we make sure that the things that were taught are in alignment with that, and the Scientologists they have no basis for their beliefs.
Somebody suggested that there's a similarity between Scientology and their philosophy of things to the great heresy of the first century, which was Gnosticism. And we know that the Gnostics believed that they had divine insights separate apart from the revealed word, but they had understandings that other people didn't have. They were the enlightened ones. And, of course, the Apostle John in the book we call 1 John dealt with that extensively. And he says, we can know, not them. It's not that there's some kind of exclusive knowledge that they possess and others don't have it. The word Gnostic actually comes from the Greek word gnosis, which is knowledge or to know. And they claim they knew something we didn't know. And John said that's not the case. But the Scientologists are sort of that nature too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Which we're not trying to, anybody who's out there who does practice Scientology, I doubt that any of our listeners or anybody who actually listens to our podcasts are Scientologists, but we're trying to draw a contrast. We're trying to make sure that what the Bible teaches and what Scientology is so, there's no contrast. They can't say what, you know, well, this is a little bit different. It is not, it is complete darkness and complete lightness. There is no, no similarities at all.
Well,
the word church is maybe the only thing that there is similar.
The lesson for us, Kyle, is not that we avoid Scientology, but look how gullible people can be, and people in the name of religion can be gullible. In fact, I mean, it's not the Scientologists. We can get a lot more mainstream than that. Look at the Mormons, right? Following a religion that Joseph Smith made up.
Yeah, well, I thought about that. Yeah, any other man-made religion is essentially it's the exact same thing. If you have Christ at its center, or if you have L. Ron Hubbard as its center, if it's not following the gospel, then it is completely and totally
right.
Correct.
And we can paint it up and say it's Christian, but if it's not in accordance with the scriptures, it's not. It's just as bogus as Scientology.
I was just looking here. Scientologists claim to have as many as 15 million members worldwide, but many of their critics claim they only have between 25 and 50,000 active members worldwide.
That's still a big number of folks that have been totally snookered.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars.
All right. Well, should we take a break?
Yeah, let's grab our bullet point break, and when we come back, let's look at Christian Science.
All right. Going to get a break. We want your comments, though, during the break. Why not give us a call, 877-381-4567. We're back right after this.
Have you checked out all of the resources on collegeview.com lately? Check it out now while you listen to these important messages. The virtual Bible study will be right back after this.
This is Greg Gwynn with this week's bullet point. Our bullet point this week comes from the pen of Jim Sasser. I believe in proper methods, but I don't wear the name Methodist. I believe in baptism, but I don't wear the name Baptist. I believe presbyters or elders should oversee the local church, but I don't wear the name Presbyterian. I believe one should be holy, but I'm not a holiness. I believe Jesus was reared in Nazareth, but I'm not a Nazarene. I believe that these are the last days in which we're now living, according to Hebrews 1:1, and that we are called saints, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2, but I am not a Latter-day Saint. I believe the church should be Catholic or universal, but I don't wear the name Catholic. I believe in unity, but I don't wear the name Unitarian. According to some arguments used to justify religious wearing of human names, I really would have a name. I would be a Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Holiness, Nazarene, Latter-day Saint, Unitarian, Catholic, Christian. Wow, what a name. However, I don't wear those names which glorify a person, a method, or a doctrine. I wear the name of him who was crucified for me and whose name I was baptized, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 13. Salvation is in no other name but in the name of Christ, Acts 4, verse 12. That's why I'm pleased to wear the name Christian, Acts 11, verse 26, and which glorifies God, 1 Peter 4, verse 16. Yes, I do believe in methods, baptism, presbyters, and so forth, but I don't wear divisive human names which may honor the teaching but not the author and finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ. If you obey the gospel of Christ, Romans 1, verse 16, you too can be simply a Christian and wear the name of Christ, which is embodied in the very word Christian. That's this week's bullet point. Think about it.
Hi, my name is Jack. I am 8 years old, and this is Virtual Bible Study.
A streaming Bible study. Why didn't I think of that? Now back to the guys.
We're back on the program tonight. We appreciate you watching and tuning in and listening to the program tonight. I want to remind you this program is brought to you by the College View Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee. Our website, if you've never been there, check it out, thevirtualbiblestudy.com, collegeview.com. On YouTube, Kyle, at College View Livestream.
That's right. And I would actually invite anybody who wants to who has questions, view our live stream. And if you have a question about something we said, absolutely call us or send us an email. We're open to discussion. We want that.
Yeah, we actually seek out opportunity to talk to people about things we differ over in a friendly, congenial way, not mean or adversarially. But we do think it's important to discuss our differences. And so if you hear something on the virtual Bible study, or if you're watching our College View live stream, and you hear something that doesn't seem right or you disagree with, by all means, let us know. Let's talk about it.
All right. We're talking about Scientology and Christian Science fringe religious organizations. Now on to this Christian Science, which is a little bit older.
What we say, L. Ron Hubbard started Scientology in 1950. Mary Baker Eddy founded Christian Science back in, let's see, I had a note here on a date.
1875.
1879 is when they were granted a charter to establish a church.
Okay.
So that's quite a bit older.
Yeah.
So, I mean, 70 years older. Yeah. 70 years older.
Yeah.
So let me read a little. This is not something that I wrote, but this is a little bit of history on Mary Baker Eddy. I was studying with somebody recently, and that name came up, and the person I was studying said, What? Who? Who's Mary Baker Eddy? I don't think her name is as well recognized now as it was maybe a number of years ago, but she is the founder of the Christian Science religion. She was born in 1821, so almost 200 years ago, right at 200 years ago. Her father was a devout Congregationalist and carried very strict Calvinistic teaching. As a child, she was frequently ill with fevers, which confined her to bed. Confined her to bed for days and kept her from regular school attendance. Her personal history goes on to describe a couple of failed marriages. Her first husband died of yellow fever. She was pregnant with a child when he died. And she had that child, and that was the only child she ever had. She later married a man who was a dentist and a homeopathic doctor. That was during the Civil War years. He was unfaithful to her. They divorced. So she'd been married twice. She came in to know. See, in 1862, while suffering from several illnesses, she visited a man named Phineas Quimby. Operating out of Portland, Maine, he taught a system of healing that focused on the mind.
Mm-hmm.
He taught that the mind had the power to heal the body. Well, obviously, that had a lot of influence on her because that sort of symbolizes what she came to believe and teach, was that the mind could control the body. So in 1866... she took a serious fall and was terribly injured, was not expected to recover. But as she was ailing from the fall, she read Matthew chapter 9, verse 2, where it says, "Some men brought to Jesus a paralytic lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven.' After 3 days, she claimed, miraculously healed." The fall and the cure brought her to a conviction about her new position, or her new thought: mind controls the body. In 1875, she was 45 years old. She published the first edition of Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. Notice this now. She claimed it was the final revelation of God to mankind. She believed it was an actual revelation of God to mankind. And asserted that her work was inspired of God. Now, that's the book. And if you ever hear about that, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. That was better known, as I said, several years ago. Most people haven't heard about it anymore. But she said the key, where it says Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, the key in the title of her book is a reference to her being the woman of Revelation 12. Which we don't think is the case, obviously, and that she had the key to unlocking the Bible. Mary Baker married one of her students, a fellow named Asa Eddy. She thus became Mary Baker Eddy. And in 1879, her church was organized, called the Church of Christ Science. A couple more things here. This is interesting. Of course, it's based in Boston still to this day. Christian Science is based in Boston, Massachusetts. Christian Science, I didn't know this. Christian Science became the fastest growing religion in the United States with nearly 270,000 members by 1936. But by 1990, the number had declined to just 100,000 practicing members, and by 2009 reportedly is under 50,000 members of the Church of Christ Scientists. They publish a well-known newspaper called the Christian Science Monitor. You've probably heard of that. And their religion is well-known for its public reading rooms, Christian Science reading rooms that are found in a lot of major cities around the world. So that's Mary Baker Eddy. That's that name. We should be familiar with that name. She's the founder of the Christian Science religion. Here's a little bit about what they believe. The core theology they hold to is the rejection of medicine and the belief in the mortal mind. With the rejection of medicine, Christian Scientists followers developed an intricate system to help heal without the use of medication. The first level of members are called practitioners. These are lay people, or they're just regular congregationalists. They've taken classes and have been ordained as healers. So everybody in the religion is considered to be a healer. Secondly, there are teachers who gain their stature by obtaining a license from the church. And finally, there are readers. These are people who read the lessons in church services. They believe that simply reading Mary Baker Eddy's book, Science and Health, one can be healed of their sicknesses or diseases. Mary Baker Eddy assumed this to be the key to healing because when she had fallen on the ice, she was healed by reading Matthew 9, verse 2. And she said that same kind of healing could occur for everyone. And so this is their theology. They believe that reality is purely spiritual and the material world is an illusion. Well, that almost sounds like Scientology, doesn't it? This includes the view that disease is a mental error rather than a physical disorder, and that the sick should be treated not by medicine but by a form of prayer that seeks to correct the beliefs responsible for the illusion of ill health. Because the material world is actually an illusion anyway. And if you, in this illusion of the physical world, feel that you're sick, that's just an illusion too. And if you get your thinking straightened out, that'll all go away.
Ooh. Well, Kyle, that's detrimental to the medical industry, no doubt.
Oh, yes, which I actually think it's ironic that they call themselves Christian Sciences or Christian Scientists when they reject the entire medical science, I guess. They have their own brand. Yeah. So it's interesting.
I was reading someplace else here. The Church of Christ Scientists has no clergy, no sermons, no rituals, performs no baptisms, marriages, or burials. The main religious texts are Bible and science, are the Bible and science and health, the key to the scriptures. Each church has two readers who read aloud from those texts during services. They typically have meetings on Sunday morning and Wednesday evening. On Wednesday evening, members offer testimonials about the successes that they have had in recovering from ill health by virtue of these premises. So actually, what I thought was kind of interesting, we picked these two out together, and there is some commonality here in this business of denying physical reality, that this physical world, that our physical existence is an illusion, that it's not real.
Yeah, that's a lot along the lines of what Mohan up in Illinois sent tonight. He said Christian Science, or the cult of Eddyism, going back to Mary Baker Eddy, believes that sin is an illusion. However, the Bible says all have sinned, and sin is very real, and the wages of sin is death. Also, they believe everything is God. However, the Bible says there's only one God. It seems like they believe all religious groups are okay, but Acts 4, verse 12 contradicts this. He said that, you know, they're saying that sin is an illusion, and the Bible says it's not an illusion, that it'll send your soul to hell. So,
yeah.
Okay.
Sort of like Scientology, a lot of famous people get drawn to this. And there are some names here. I got a list of some names, notable members of the Christian Scientists. Some are past political figures that some of our listeners may remember. Director of the Central Intelligence Agency, William H. Webster. Admiral Stanfield M. Turner. Richard Nixon's Chief of Staff, H.R. Haldeman, and his domestic advisor, John Ehrlichman, were Christian Scientists. A lot of film personalities, Joan Crawford, Carol Channing, Doris Day, Cecil B. DeMille, George Hamilton, Ginger Rogers, Mickey Rooney, people should probably recognize the name of Robert Duvall and Val Kimmer. They're Christian Scientists. Ellen DeGeneres, Henry Fonda, Audrey Hepburn, Elizabeth Taylor, Robin Williams.
They were raised in Christian Science families, not necessarily adherents to the religion now.
That's what you're seeing? I didn't see that.
Yep.
They were raised in those in that religion. Yeah, I see it. Here's an interesting note. The actress Ann Archer was raised within Christian Science. She left the church when her son Tommy Davis was a child, and both became prominent in the Church of Scientology. So they left Christian Science and went to Scientology. So again, it's sort of a bizarre blend of notions, but a lot of what we said about Scientology and what we would claim as what is wrong with Scientology is the same here. I mean, the Bible says that the physical universe is a reality, that God created the heavens and the earth, and it talks about the things, the specific physical things that he created, sun, moon, stars, living plants and animals, and man. He created man not from some weird thought process. He created man from the dust of the earth. Our existence is real. It's not imaginary. So that would be a major difference, I think, that we would have with Christian Science as well as with Scientology.
Okay.
And here's another point that I would draw out. If physical illness or disease is a myth, we got a problem with Jesus Christ, because he surely would have known that. If that is the fact, if that is in case the fact that it's just an illusion, then Jesus was playing on people's bad thinking as he went about healing the sick and those who had diseases. Why didn't he tell them, you're not really sick, just get up?
Yeah.
Go about your business, because right. This is just, you're just not thinking. You're thinking badly. So if you really think about it, and they are Christian Scientists, so they believe in the Bible and they claim to believe in Jesus Christ, but their philosophy actually makes Jesus out to be a charlatan and a deceiver.
Yeah, right. In this idea of a latter-day revelation, anytime that someone comes along with a latter-day revelation, we can immediately dismiss them and say, that's okay, we're not going to listen to you, because Paul was very clear about that in Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, that if there's something that's, anything that's taught that's different than what we have in the New Testament, it is not from God, and that person is condemned by God for teaching this false doctrine. Mary Baker Eddy, Joseph Smith, a host of others have come along and said, I've got a latter-day revelation. God told me something, and it differs from what the Bible said. They're not telling the truth. And Mary Baker Eddy was
yeah, and the revelation of God is a finished product to us. Peter said in 2 Peter 1, verse 3, his divine power hath given, past tense, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So we're not waiting for additional latter-day revelations. Jesus promised his apostles in John chapter 16, Jesus promised his apostles that in their lifetimes, in the first century, they would be guided into all truth, John 16, verses 13 and 14. Jesus promised his apostles would have all truth in their lifetime. Peter said in 2 Peter 1, verse 3, that they did have all truth in their lifetime. And so, as you say, that ought to be an automatic for us. Someone claiming the latter-day revelation, red flags ought to pop up all over the place, and you ought to dismiss what they're saying without any question. You should dismiss what they're saying. It cannot be so.
Yeah. Now, the other thing that's obvious here, it's very obvious, is that Scientologists, the Church of Scientology, cannot be the church I read about in the New Testament. It was founded in 1950.
Scientology.
And Christian Science.
1879.
Okay. So Scientology, the Church of Scientology, that can't be the church I read about in the New Testament. The Church of the Christian Scientist, 1879, that obviously can't be the church I read about in the New Testament. Well, let's just walk it on back. How about, what about the 1600s? The 1400s?
When you talk about 1500 and 1600s, you're talking about the Reformation movement in Europe.
Yeah.
A lot of the mainline denominations began in that time frame. Now, that's back there. That's 400 years ago, 400 or 500 years ago.
Yeah.
But it's not back far enough.
Yeah, check the history of whatever denomination you're a part of. When was it founded?
Yeah, so I think your point's a good one. If you're going to say 1950, that can't be right.
That's got to be fake.
If it started in 1950, it can't be right.
That's got to be wrong, yeah.
I think, but that same principle says if it was formed in 1550, it can't be true either. That's 1,500 years too late.
Yeah. It can't be the church you read about in the Bible. Yeah. All right.
One more point. We'll get our last break. Mary Baker Eddy died in 1910. Wait a minute. She died. It says she died not fully cured of her own infections. Well, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
How's that? How could that be so? If illness is an illusion, was she deceived into thinking she died? I don't know. I don't get that. See, I've always thought that the Christian Science religion is an ultimate failure because everyone dies, and they shouldn't die. If they follow these principles, they should be perpetually healed of whatever ailment their physical body encounters. It's just an illusion, after all. And again, there's a place where that differs with the Scripture. Hebrews 9, verse 27 says, it's appointed unto men once to die. Yep. And after this, the judgment.
All right. Let's take a break. When we get back, we're going to have about 10 minutes for...
Questions on the fly.
Questions on the fly. We've got some folks in the chat room here. Send us a question. Maybe it's just give us a softball question if you want. Maybe you already know the answer. Send us a softball question. And we'll give it a shot when we get back from this break. Don't go anywhere. We're back right after this.
These guys are doing all of the talking. We need to hear from you. Call in now. The virtual Bible study continues right after this.
When you take away the ice cream socials, the family center, the gym, the fellowship hall, and the plays from your church, what do you have left? Is there anything of real spiritual substance? Is there anything that says this is all about God and not all about me? At the College View Church of Christ, we want to stay focused on the goal of serving God. We don't offer what most churches offer, but we do offer Jesus Christ and Him crucified. If that's what you're looking for, come worship with us this Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. at the College View Church of Christ.
We're tracking the trends on the virtual Bible study. Men are more likely than women to finish Bible reading plans on an app, but they don't clean as much as when using a good old-fashioned paper book, according to a recent study. More women report a desire to engage with the Bible compared to men. Boys tend to prefer digital formats more than girls, and female readers consistently score better in comprehension. That information is via Journal of Religion, Media, and Digital Culture. The Word of God says in Psalm 119, verse 97, "Oh, how I love thy law! It is my meditation all the day."
Quit checking your email. The commercials are over, and the virtual Bible study is ready to roll. Take it away, guys.
We're back on the program tonight, going to the top of the hour. We're going to do just lob us a question here. Make it hard if you want in the chat room and watch us squirm. Guest 3423 says, if a church is true, we have to read about it in the Bible. The beliefs and practices must match the church in the New Testament. Surprising, all these man-made churches cannot see this. So that's an obvious thing. We look at Mary Baker Eddy, we look at L. Ron Hubbard, we say, now your teachings don't line up with what the Scriptures say. You can't be true. Why don't we do that with all these other groups that claim to be Christian, but they're obviously doing things that don't line up with what the scriptures teach. Why doesn't the same apply?
Yeah.
Dwight says, "How is one?"
Oh, he's given us a softball, I think.
Oh. Yeah.
I think he's given us a question.
Here's a softball one. Okay.
But wait, before we get to that, Eric in the chat room, in regards to these religions we discussed tonight, Scientology and Christian Science, he quotes Proverbs 14:12. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death.
Is he in my chat? I don't see him in my chat room.
It's in mine.
Oh, well. All right. Now let's go on to the soft. This may or may not be a softball question on a different topic now. Dwight says, "How is one to give of their means when the church seems to hoard the Lord's money?"
Now, I think what Dwight may be referring to is the idea that people give their money and then churches build up big bank accounts and hang on to the money. Which I think that's potentially a problem across the religious board. We talked about Scientology, how it costs a lot of money to move through the ranks of Scientology. They're obviously into it for the money thing. And, you know, one of the big – you continually read surveys where one of the big turnoffs that so-called unchurched people have is they're always asking for my money. If I go to church, that's the main thing. They're just asking for my money. And then, as Dwight has suggested, maybe the money is just hoarded up. There's no place for that, I think, in God's plan. Certainly, God's plan calls for us to contribute our financial means. 1 Corinthians 16:1 and 2, 2 Corinthians 9:6-8. We're to lay by in store as the Lord has prospered us. And it's to accomplish the work that he has assigned to his church to do. We think that work includes evangelism, reaching out to the lost, edification, strengthening those who are to Christians, benevolence to those in the church who are in need.
That's what the scriptures say. The money.
Those are the three broad areas of work that the Lord has assigned to the church. It takes money to do each of those things, and that's where we get the money. But there's no basis for us to have money hoarded up. In other words, we're just trying to see how much we can get. What would be the purpose of that?
So
two things. People are turned off by the money thing. And then I think people are additionally turned off, and people stop giving. I've known of Christians who basically scale back their giving because the church has got plenty of money already. Why should I bother to give any more? And so the idea of churches hoarding up money is a problem. I think it's a good point that Dwight has brought up.
It doesn't necessarily, well, but let's do the flip side of this. He asked, how is one to give of their means when the church seems to hoard the Lord's money? The responsibility is still on me personally to give of my means.
Yeah.
That's on the leadership if they're hoarding up the money. But God doesn't absolve
me. And that needs to be addressed, but it doesn't excuse me from giving.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I hope we have been doing, you know, the Lord's will hereby. We have preachers that we support. We want to make sure that we're, because we have a hoard of money. If we do have a hoard of money, we need to be like, well, who can we give this money to that to go out and preach the word? What can we do to do this? We have efforts that we do here for evangelism. We have a community Bible study. We have different efforts, but we should always be exploring.
Well, we're trying to use the money as best we can, as fast as we can.
Yeah. Yeah. So. By the way, Kyle just brought up something. Mark your calendars way out from now, July 20 and 21, community Bible study here in Columbia, Tennessee. July 20 and 21, Monday and Tuesday night, July 20 and 21. Mark your calendars already. Keep it open for the community Bible study.
Speaking of money, we use a lot of money to advertise that and to get ready for that. And we want you to be part of it. You can. Hey, here's one from Lou, and it's along the same lines. He says, is tithing or giving 10% specifically mentioned in Scripture? Good question, Lou. What about that? Tithing, 10%
is
mentioned in Scripture.
It is in the Old Testament under the law of Moses. The children of Israel were expected to give. Actually, they were mandated to give a tithe or 10%. Actually, that even predates the law of Moses. I was trying to look here
Abraham.
Abraham, when Abraham, there had been a war, Lot, Abraham's nephew and his family and others were taken captive in the war. Abraham pursued after them. He won them back. He won a battle and he brought them back. And when he was on his way back, he was met by Melchizedek in Genesis chapter 14. Abraham paid tithe to Melchizedek, who was called the priest of the Most High God. So the idea of tithing was true in the that would be patriarchal period. It was continued over in the law of Moses. The children of Israel were mandated to give a tithe of all that they earned, all the crops that they raised, whatever. They were commanded to give a tithe. So yes, it's a biblical principle. Here's the thing, though. In the New Testament, the law that we live under, the law of Christ, it's not repeated. Tithing is not specified in the New Testament. Instead, what we're commanded to do is what's taught in the verses that we alluded to earlier in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So our giving is to be proportionate to our prosperity and as we purpose and plan in our heart. But in the New Testament, it never specifies a tithe, which, by the way, of course, was 10%.
All right. So good question. We appreciate that. Hopefully that helps. If there's other questions, send them in the chat room. Guest 3423 says, some churches who are entertainment-driven use their money for entertaining the members and using carnal means to attract the people.
Yeah. You know, I think it would be absolutely an easy thing to draw a standing room only crowd on Sunday morning if we advertised that there was going to be a $100 bill taped under every seat on Sunday morning. People would be lining up early to come in, and every seat would be taken because people would want that $100. Should we use that sort of an appeal? And everybody said, "Oh no, absolutely, you can't do that.
That's over the top."
Yeah, but if you think about it, that's what we're basically doing when we try to attract people with entertainment and recreation. We're using a carnal appeal, and the scriptures do not authorize that. In fact, they teach against that. We've referenced before in John chapter 6, when Jesus perceived that people were following him because they wanted him to feed them, he wouldn't feed them.
Yeah, yeah, obviously a different approach. Yeah, Jesus could have had the social gospel to the extreme. All he had to do was say the word, and he could have had all the food and good food. Obviously, it was good. They came back for it the next day. He could have done that. He could have pulled them in, but he didn't do that because he didn't want them to be drawn just for the carnal. He wanted them to be drawn to the truth.
Exactly right.
And so churches are going down that rat hole trying to get people to come because of the carnal attraction, and it's just not what God wants.
Exactly right.
All right. I think we're out of questions.
Yeah, we're just about out of time. We're out of time, so now, it worked out good.
Kyle, we heard a lot from you tonight. I mean, are you expecting more pay? I mean, we're going to have to double your pay.
Yeah, I'm in for doubling Kyle's pay.
That's double. That's right. That's double tonight.
Well, I think we're getting closer to the positive. We're in the negative right now.
So okay. Kyle, thanks for all the good comments tonight.
That was good. It's a good topic.
Glad that you're here. And Dad, thanks for a good discussion tonight.
Thanks, Jacob.
All right. Thank you for joining us on the program tonight. I hope you benefited from our study and discussion of God's Word. I hope you make plans to be back here this time next week for another edition of the Virtual Bible Study. In the meantime, we encourage you to put God first in your life, study His inspired Word of the Bible, and live by it every day. You'll never regret it.
Thanks for listening to the Virtual Bible Study, brought to you by the College View Church of Christ. The College View Church of Christ meets at 1618 Hampshire Pike in Columbia, Tennessee. If you are in the Columbia, Tennessee area, we encourage you to worship with the College View Church of Christ on Sunday mornings at 9:30 and on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. The College View Church of Christ also welcomes you to attend their Wednesday night Bible studies at 7 o'clock. If you have any questions about something that was said on tonight's broadcast or would like more information about the College College View Church of Christ, please call 931-381-4567. That number again, 931-381-4567. Or for more information on the internet, visit collegeview.com. Be sure to tune into the virtual Bible study this time next Thursday for another informative study of God's Word.